I'm done doubting Russell Wilson. But his ability to stay calm and lead drive, whether it's week two or the playoffs or the Super Bowl, he always puts them in a position to be successful.
And Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over,
baby. It is a touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
This is Hawks Talk.
Good morning, Seahawks fans, and welcome into CSN and Hawks Talk. I'm your host, Joel Gunderson, here coming at you Monday, the day after Seattle goes into New York and gets a big road victory, 27-17, over the New York Jets. We knew going in this was going to be the first true road test of the season for Seattle. In week two, they went to Los Angeles, but that didn't really give us a real peek at who Seattle was. That game was more about the show that was being put on for welcoming Los Angeles back into the city, back into the state, and the crowd wasn't really a factor. And we talked about it early in the week last week about how this was really going to be a chance to galvanize the team for Seattle and find out who they were. Road trips like this are often a chance for a team to really find themselves, especially early on in the season. Now, Seattle came in 2-1, had not looked great offensively in any game this year. Last week against San Francisco was a little bit better case. They finally started to seem to get things rolling, but we still hadn't really found out who they were. Defensively, they've been fine all season, but some questions really we needed to get answered yesterday on the road. Could the offensive line begin to gel? Could they keep the rhythm with the tight ends, especially Jimmy Graham, that they began to discover last week against the 49ers? Would the defense travel? Now, they always say the defense is the one thing that you can rely on to travel, but this was going to be a real test, not necessarily from the Jets themselves, who are not an offensive juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a good chance to really make a statement for Seattle. If you're going to be a defensive team that you think you are, this is a game to really go out and prove it. And also, how would Russell Wilson, who's now playing on a sprained right ankle and a grade 2 MCL on his other leg, be able to perform? Because much like the Miami Dolphins and the Los Angeles Rams, who Seattle had already faced this season, the Jets brought a powerful pass rush. Didn't offer much in the way of allowing a lot of the running game, which coincided with Seattle's inability to run the ball anyway, so you knew this was going to have to be won by Wilson and his playmakers. It'd be up to him and his weapons to really make things happen. So, heading in, how did they respond? Well, they got off to a really slow start, especially offensively. They went scoreless in the first quarter, and that's actually after the defense on the opening possession of the game allowed a 14-play drive to start. They only gave up a field goal, but Seattle trailed 3-0 after the first quarter, and it looked like some of the old problems they've been having on offense were going to come back to bug them. They couldn't get any rhythm on the run game. Wilson seemed to be bothered a little bit by the pass rush, definitely still lacking the explosion that he's had, the ability to move outside the pocket and get things going. Now, in the second quarter, Wilson showed very limited signs of those injuries, so I wonder if the adrenaline started to kick in and he really caught fire. And to me, he showed why he might be pound for pound the toughest quarterback in the NFL. It's not like he's playing on one injured leg. He's got injuries to both, and they're not ones that would normally allow a guy to go out there and perform at a high level. Grade 2 MCL sprain, it's something that he's going to have to play with probably throughout the rest of the season. It's not going to go away until they rest him, and they're not going to rest him probably until they have a bye week. And the sprained ankle, the same thing. It's an injury that you just have to play through, and eventually you hope that with enough treatment and enough time, it'll go away, but it's going to bother him throughout the year. Didn't miss one snap of practice throughout the week, and I thought that to me was a bigger sign than anything, because a lot of guys might take it easy during the week in preparation for trying to be ready on Sunday. He said, no, this is who I am. I'm going to go out and I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove that I'm a warrior, bring that mentality, and show my teammates that they can get behind me. And in the second quarter, maybe the biggest development of the season, honestly, he started finding Jimmy Graham. He did it all game long, but it really started to take place in the second quarter. They broke that glass barrier that has seemingly been between those two from the moment Graham got here last year. And it has nothing to do with them personality-wise. I don't think there's anything between them, but it's just been an odd fit. And we've talked about it a lot this season, how Graham seems to be almost a square peg in a round hole. You know, his style fit so well in New Orleans, where they did an up-tempo. He didn't have to block. He didn't have to be in the trenches. He got to go out in space where he is able to excel because he's such a freak athletically. In Seattle, they're asking him to be much more of a traditional tight end. Play up the seams, block for your running backs, be in there and be tough. And that really doesn't fit his style. So they've been, the last season and a half has really been, and he's also been battling injuries too, and that's been a huge part of it. They seemed to get a little bit of rhythm last week and how and started to find each other and look comfortable, and they have to be in sync. It's been a reoccurring theme throughout the season. It will continue to be until they really, until the, there's personnel moves, honestly, because I don't know how much the offensive line is going to actually improve. And so until they get better talent in there, they're not going to be able to run the ball consistently. They don't have dynamic running backs to counterbalance the offensive line. Christian Michael is fine. Thomas Rawls is fine. They're not guys that are going to make things happen and overcome that. So it's going to be imperative that Wilson and Luke Wilson and Russell and Jimmy Graham, excuse me, are have the ability to be in sync. Because a tight end, a capable, dynamic one especially, is a quarterback's best friend, and there might not be a more explosive one in the NFL than what Jimmy is. And more than just the stats, there was a symmetry between them. It looked like Wilson finally knew where Graham was on the field, and Graham finally knew where Wilson wanted him to be. And if that is going to continue to develop and continue to be a theme as we go throughout the year, that will be the biggest development for the Seahawks team, because having one more player adding to the likes of Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett and Paul Richardson, if you can have a fourth guy in Graham there that is that reliable, look out. Because the way this defense is playing, if the offense can even be a B grade, they're going to be tough to beat. And so far this season, they've been at a very C, very average level. Now we're starting to see the rhythm. We're starting to see the flow. Things are starting to connect. It began last week against San Francisco, but that wasn't a true barometer because San Francisco does not have a very good defense. New York, on the other hand, especially up the middle and the ability to get a pass rush. I thought the Seahawks did a fantastic job of protecting Wilson. He had time. He looked comfortable. He was able to move around a little bit despite the injuries. And in the first half, he was literally perfect. 10 for 11, 191 yards, two touchdowns, and a perfect 158.3 quarterback rating in his first half. Seattle ended up leading at the half 14-10, but there was a key sequence just before the break, I think, that showed more about what this team is becoming than anything. Now, last week, if you remember, Seattle gave up two scores and some meaningless rushing yards in the fourth quarter to end the game against San Francisco. They were relevant in the outcome of that game. And most teams may have just laughed it off and given in to the fact that the game was over and they took their foot off the gas a little bit. But the Seahawks players spoke ad nauseum after the game last week about how disappointed they were in the way they finished the game on the defensive side of the ball. Now, this is a very prideful defense, sometimes to a fault, but they've built their reputation on being stout on that side of the ball and not giving an inch and playing with a chip on their shoulder and playing with a swagger that other teams know they cannot go in and score on them. So just before the half yesterday, Seattle was ahead 14-3, and they allowed a quick scoring drive by the Jets just before the intermission. And when you looked at the sidelines, if you're watching on TV, you could see the look on their faces. There was a sense in watching them that they were heading towards a turning point in the season. Now, I don't know if it's hindsight 2020 afterwards that you can say that, but it was almost as if they realized just how good they could be now that the offense is really starting to click, and the defense was looking at each other saying, we can't do this anymore. We ended the game last week on a little bit of a sour note. We ended the first half here on a little bit of a sour note. It's almost as if they realized defensively just how good they could be when they're on top of their game. And to me, if you're a Seahawks fan, that is really fun to watch, because we've all seen just how good this defense can be over the last few years when they're locked in mentally. And it's hard to do that for 16 games. You cannot expect a team to be on it every single play, giving 100%. But I think you're starting to realize that the pride level in them, they don't want to give up points. I think if they could go out there and shut out a team every game, they obviously would love to do that. They have the talent to be the top defense in the league. No question about it. They've proven that over the last few years, and the core players are still there. And I think the way that last week ended and the first half ended yesterday, it would not surprise me to see this defense go on a real tear over the next few weeks. Now, coming out in the second half, after the clearly frustrated finish to the first, Seattle, they allowed just 7 points. They intercepted Ryan Fitzpatrick three times, including two of them by Richard Sherman. And after those interceptions, there was a joy and a giddiness to them because I think they saw that not only now from a scoring standpoint were they keeping teams down, the interceptions are starting to come. And that's something they have not been able to really do the first few weeks of the season. While they've been stout, the turnovers haven't been coming. But when the turnovers come, as they seem to start doing this week, that's when momentum comes into play. And when momentum is made on defense, it turns over to the offense. And now the offense has some confidence to begin with. So if you can get them the ball back and flip field positions and have plays in the game that really get the tide turning, that's where it's all starting to come together as a whole unit. The final score ended up being Seattle 27, New York 17. They went on the road to a hostile environment and for me really dominated from start to finish. That opening drive of the game where New York went 14 plays and then the scoring drive to end the first half aside, those were two little blips on the radar, but this was a game that Seattle had in control, and it not at any point did they look like they were rattled or flustered. And they've really, I think now in 2016, this has really been 4 or 5 years that they have been at this level where they're considering themselves a top team. I didn't think they would get rattled on the road, but like I said, the first true test of the season, you never quite know how they're going to react, especially considering the way things have started this year. While they entered 2-1, they never have looked like a complete team. So this was, to me, a really big test to see how they would respond. And I don't think it could have gone any better. Afterwards, Pete Carroll took the stand to talk about the game, and he definitely had a different disposition about himself as well. You could see the joy in his face, and you can hear it in his voice here as he talked away.
Really liked this game today, particularly coming off of last week's game. To come back, and we played well at home last week. It was really important to us knowing that we're making a big trip and to handle it right and play hard and play tough and play smart, and we got that done today. It's a really good game. Again, our defense played great. It's just really hard to do much to, and they just keep playing. The first month of the season has been a great month for us on that side of the ball. I thought it was just a sterling effort by the quarterback. I know everybody was wondering and questioning all what was going to happen or how he's going to be able to do it, and he just did it. This was the best he's looked in the last few weeks, and he was confident, played great, made great decisions, and did everything we needed to do today. It's really important for us to get the football. We finally got the darn ball today going, and we always talk about it coming in bunches, and kind of happened today a little bit. Hopefully this is the start of something that we can really build momentum on. This is a defense that the characteristic should be that we're going to take the football off in, and it's been kind of tough first couple of weeks, so it's great to see that get going. I thought it was a great matchup with Sherm and Marshall. Fantastic to watch. Can't wait to see the film of it, but it was a great battle. I thought Fitzpatrick did a nice job getting the balls in there when he did, but it was great to see Sherm get his picks and have a heck of a day. I don't say about Jimmy. He's just a monster out there. That's two weeks back-to-back with just tremendous plays, one right after another, and you can see Russell believing in him. You can see him putting the ball up to him in places where he's going to have the best shot to get it, and some exquisite throws, but the catches and the completion finishing the play by Jimmy was just marvelous, and so it was really, really great to see that. All in all, it was a great day. We like playing at the MetLife, and it's been a good place to us.
What does it say about Russell to do what he did today under his?
He's only had one half when he didn't have something wrong in the season, you know, I really don't know how to say enough about his mentality. He has a perfect mentality to endure whatever he needs to endure, and he does it on the strength of belief in himself, commitment to his teammates, and just this marvelous will. It's not because he didn't work, because he's worked for almost a month now straight of rehabbing and just continually working to get right, always believing that he's going to get well and be well, and. And it's just been a marvelous spirit to watch, and it's been a thrill. And what happens now is we get 2 weeks, you know, we get 2 weeks before we play again. So we get out of this game without anybody getting banged up, which is just a great blessing. So we'll go into these next 2 weeks and get well, get right, and come back getting after it again.
With what you know about Russell's knee, in a couple of weeks, should he be pretty much 100%?
Well, he's pretty close today, you know, so I would think he has a great chance. he's going to be a lot better anyway, and so it'll be. He won 100%. He was good enough to play and confident enough to play, and trainers and doctors all signed off on it, and it's a marvelous job that he did.
As you heard, Carroll, there, obviously with the bye week coming up now, a chance for Wilson and the rest of the team to really get healthy, and coming out of yesterday's game with no additional injuries, certainly a welcome sight, especially the way things have gone the first few weeks with guys getting banged up, and now you really get a chance to, you know, go into it with confidence. They built some confidence already with Wilson between Wilson and Graham. The offensive line looked a little bit better. Now you have a chance to really get healthy, get those dings cleaned up, and work together in practice time and keep that cohesion going. With that, here's three things I learned from yesterday's win over the New York Jets. The Legion of Boom is as good as ever. Now, that's not a huge surprise, obviously. We talked in the season opening edition of Hawks Talk, the season preview, about how the secondary in particular was coming into this perfect age of not only were they experienced, having played together now for 3 or 4 or 5 years, but they were all reaching the prime of their physical careers as well. We saw in the second half yesterday, 2 interceptions from Sherman, 1 interception from Earl Thomas. They're just in this sweet spot now. We're looking at probably a 2 or 3, maybe even 4-year window now, where these guys are going to be either in their prime or at the tail end of it. They have an opportunity to go down as arguably the best unit, defensive unit, that the NFL has seen over the last 20 or 30 years. If these guys can stick together, contract-wise, health-wise, if they can really just stick together as a squad, we're looking at something really special. Number 2, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, and some people kind of got some flack for it, but I said I was done doubting Russell Wilson, and some people said, well, how could you even doubt him at this point? He's been doing this for 4 years, but he's truly stepped his game up here to be the passing threat, the in-pocket passing threat that we've been waiting for him to be. Now, the reason he's had to do it, unfortunately, has been because of the injuries. But what he has done the last few weeks, especially on 2 injured legs, has been nothing short of remarkable. As I mentioned earlier, the perfect passer rating in the first half. And he just has a sense about him that there's no more surprises. He's been doing it now. This is his 5th season. He's seasoned. He knows his receivers. He knows his targets. He now has a tight end he can rely on. He doesn't have the running game to fall back on. He has truly taken his game to another level, and it's just really fun to sit back and watch. He's always had that ability to lock in and be a fourth quarter threat. Now we're starting to see it in quarters 1, 2, and 3 more consistently. He truly is the face of the franchise now, the leader. And he's arguably a top 5 quarterback in the league, and I don't think that's even disputable anymore. And lastly, on top of Wilson becoming that a top 5 in his position, I think Doug Baldwin has cemented his status as well. He had a really interesting offseason where he started getting a lot more attention than he had been getting in the past. And you know, whether it was some of the social issues that he was talking about, or it just was becoming known that he was really starting to take his game to the next level. But not only from a statistical standpoint, the routes he's running, the leadership he's showing. He's taken ownership of that wide receiving core and said, listen, we don't have Marshawn Lynch to fall back on anymore as an offense. It's truly up to us to lead this team. And it's really fun just to sit back and watch Baldwin do what he does. Not only is he one of the best overall receivers in the league, he's just flat out fun to watch. He has incredible body control. Some of the catches he made yesterday were, you kind of just sit back and marvel and say, wow, not only is he a physical, aggressive receiver, but he's also incredibly graceful. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that very often. He's truly one of the, in my opinion, one of the top 3 or 4 guys in the league that I just like to watch just from an entertainment standpoint. Not even just how good he is, but just how funny he is to watch do what he does. And he's so passionate and so energetic, and you can tell he's got a fire in him that is sometimes missing from the receiver's position. I think a lot of times they get this reputation of being more divas and more negative, but there's just this underlying fire inside of him that it's really refreshing to see from guys that have gotten paid. They still want to win, and you can tell in his mind That's the most important thing. As Carroll mentioned in his press conference, Seattle now heads into their bye week a little bit earlier probably than you normally would like it. You'd like to see your bye week come a little more closer to the middle of the season, you know, week 8 or 9. But I actually think this is a perfect time because now they get Wilson a chance to really try to get some rest and you know, hopefully he takes the entire next week off from a physical standpoint, just keep getting mentally sharp. But chance for the offense to really continue that growth. And you don't get a lot of practice time throughout the NFL season because so many days you want to give your guys a chance to rest. But now this week they can really look at what's worked the last couple of games. And they've had one game against San Francisco, which didn't have a great defense. One game against New York, which has a better defense. And they're going to come back off the bye week and head down to Atlanta to face a Falcons team that offensively has looked superior this season to almost every other team. Another team that will struggle defensively. So it'd be really interesting to see how they come out and attack Atlanta. It's going to be a real test for the defense. And as well as they've played this year, they have not faced anybody near to the level of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. Julio Jones yesterday went for over 300 yards, wreaking all sorts of havoc early in the season. Atlanta did this last year too. They started out really hot. They faded down the stretch. It'll be interesting to see how they continue to progress. And a real test, another cross-country trip for Seattle. Luckily, they get the bye week in between so they can take a chance to rest up. But really like the way that they're heading into this to the bye week. They've won two in a row. They're starting to get their confidence, and it'll be really good for them. After the bye week, they're going to have 12 straight games to end the season with no breaks, so it's going to be really important that they take advantage of the bye week, try to get as healthy as possible. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Hawks Talk. Thanks again for joining us. Once again, Seattle gets a big 27-17 victory on the road over the Jets, heading into the bye week before they take on Atlanta. And we'll come at you Monday after that Atlanta game and hopefully talk about another Seahawks victory. Thanks again for joining.